Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. You see, the kingdom is going to be a righteous kingdom because it's going to be ruled by a righteous king.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Revelation. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, in a message titled, Hallelujah Chorus. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So this morning we're going to look just at this 15th verse that we read together, but I want to expand it just a little bit, and I've entitled the message here this morning, the Hallelujah Chorus, and some of you are familiar with the Hallelujah Chorus, Handel's Messiah. And it's there in the Hallelujah Chorus, or in Handel's Messiah, that portion there that is known as the Hallelujah Chorus, a man named Charles Jennens, he's the one who actually arranged the lyrics for that great oratorio, as they call it. And he used the King James Bible and the Book of Common Prayer all throughout the whole thing, the Messiah. That's what he used as his text. And when it comes to the Hallelujah Chorus, he combined the 15th verse of the 11th chapter of Revelation that we read, he combined that with the 6th verse of the 19th chapter of Revelation. And let me read those to you together, and then we'll see how the connection is made to the Hallelujah Chorus here. And so the verse that we already read, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And so if you can think of that in your mind, that as that builds, that hallelujah, hallelujah, and the Lord God Almighty and all of that, that's right there in that just amazing piece of music. But when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, there will be a shout of praise to the Lord like has never been heard before. And of course, that's what hallelujah means. It means praise the Lord. So there's going to be this universal praise to the Lord when the kingdoms of this world finally become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at the kingdoms of this world, what has been, and the coming kingdom of Christ, what will be in the future, and show the contrast between the two. And also practically, you know, two things I think I want to sort of conclude from it is, number one, the tremendous hope that we have in the fact that there is a kingdom coming over which Christ will reign. And then secondly, since that is the case, that we have an opportunity today to experience that kingdom and to engage in the advancement of the kingdom as we await the final realization of it when the Lord himself returns. So looking first at the kingdoms of this world for a moment, regardless of their outward attractiveness, their treasures, literature, art, buildings, monuments, those kinds of things that we so often think of when we think of the kingdoms of this world. Regardless of all that, all kingdoms throughout all of history have been marked by oppression, injustice, inequality, cruelty. That has been the reality in every kingdom. Now, obviously, some more so than others, but to some degree, all kingdoms, empires, and nations share these negative traits. The historian Edward Gibbon, who wrote the classic, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, he said this. He said that history is little more than the register of the crimes, follies, and misfortunes of mankind. And when you think back over our history, that is pretty accurate. That's the reality, regardless of what things look like on the surface. Now, when we think of the kingdoms of this world, there are two views. There's, you know, kind of the view of man, if you will. Man looks at the kingdoms of this world and stands in awe of them. And then there's the view of God. Now, in the book of Daniel, and as we pointed out before, Daniel is very much a parallel to the book of Revelation. Daniel is kind of the Old Testament version, really, of the book of Revelation. But there in Daniel, in the second chapter, maybe you remember reading this, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in this dream, he sees this image, this large image. It's the image of a man. And here's what it says about the image. It says that the image, it was a great image whose splendor was excellent and its form awesome. And that's kind of the way man has seen the kingdoms of the world. Awesome, excellent. The glory is impressive. And Nebuchadnezzar saw this image, and maybe you remember if you've read it over there, it had a head of gold, and then it had arms and or chest and arms of silver, and then it had belly and thighs of bronze, and then the feet and the legs and the feet were of iron and then of clay. But it was this magnificent image. And this is the way that man sees the kingdoms of this world. The devil, in seeking to appeal to Jesus in that temptation, he kind of presented the world in the same way. You remember he took Jesus to a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
And he said, if you bow down and worship me, these can be yours. Now, you see, of course, what the devil didn't take into account was Jesus could see beyond the thin veneer of the splendor. He could see the reality that was there behind each of the kingdoms of the world. And so it's true. You can look at the kingdoms of the world. You can look today, for example, at some of the great cities around the world. You know, maybe you're going to go on vacation and you want to go to one of the great European cities, perhaps, or one of the great cities in another place, and you go online and you check out all of the different sites that you want to visit, and you see these magnificent buildings, and you're attracted by the architecture, and you think of all the wonderful restaurants and places like that, and you just think, oh, you know, this is such a great city. And I personally, you know, there are a number of cities around the world that I really do love to visit. I love London very much. It's probably my favorite city in the world. New York is a great city. You know, a lot of cities are great, but The truth of the matter is, you don't have to go far before you're out of all of the splendor and the glory of it, and you get an insight into the underbelly, so to speak. And that's the reality in every city, right? You've got those great, magnificent buildings, and you've got those museums, and you've got those theaters, and you've got those restaurants, and you've got those historical sites, and you've got all of that. But man, you've got a whole nother dimension of things going on that's not so obvious, but the truth is it's there. The prostitution, the drug addiction, the oppression, the slave labor, you know, all of those kinds of things. That's the reality of the kingdoms of this world. And that's how God sees the kingdoms of this world. And Daniel himself has a vision that is the same vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, but it is shown in a completely different way. It's the same kingdoms that are being looked at, but they're not being seen as majestic and awesome, but they're actually being seen as ferocious beasts. In the seventh chapter of Daniel's prophecy, Daniel has a vision. And he has a vision, just as Nebuchadnezzar did, of the kingdoms that would come. But in Daniel's prophecy, rather than this glorious image, there was a winged lion. A lion is a ferocious beast. There was a devouring bear. There was a winged, four-headed leopard. And these represented Babylon, Persia, Greece. And then there was one final kingdom that was considered. And Daniel described it in this way. He said, "And a fourth beast that was dreadful, terrible, and exceedingly strong, with huge iron teeth, and it broke and crushed everything under its feet." So you see, that's God's take on the kingdoms of this world. And that is the truth about the kingdoms of this world. That's what has happened all throughout the long history of man. From one kingdom to another, you've had the same kinds of things, the oppression, the injustice, the inequality, the cruelty. It's always been there and it's still there today. But in contrast to that, there is a kingdom that is coming. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. We're talking about a repossession of the earth. Jesus is coming to take over the world. That's what he's coming to do. And we cannot forget that. It is such a massive part of the biblical revelation. So much of scripture is talking about the fact of the Lord's return. We talk much about the Lord's first coming, and we talk about the cross and the resurrection, and of course we do. That's the foundation for everything, and we can never neglect that or leave that out, but we don't want to overlook the fact that that is the foundation upon which the kingdom is to be established. The kingdom is yet to come. And so we of all people, we as his people, we need to be the ones that are living with the expectation of the establishing of this kingdom. Now, the kingdom of Christ could be described in a number of different ways, but Paul describes it in Romans 14, 17 in this way, and this is the description that I want to use. He describes the kingdom of God as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul uses that to describe the current manifestation of the kingdom. So here's the thing that we need to remember, that the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, this kingdom that is coming, has already come partially, but it's going to come in its totality in the future. But on the individual level, we can enter the kingdom today, but this is just a foretaste of what is going to come in the future when the Lord actually establishes the kingdom. So it will be a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Let's just talk about those three things real quickly. It will be a kingdom of righteousness. What, when we talk about a kingdom of righteousness, what are we talking about? We're talking about a kingdom in which everything will be made right. See, there will be nothing wrong in that kingdom. Every wrong will be righted. All of the wrongs of history, all of the wrongs that we currently live with, they will not be a part of that future kingdom. Everything will be right. Oppression, injustice, inequality, none of those things will exist. None of those things will ever exist again. It is a kingdom of righteousness, and it is established by Christ, who is the righteous king. And Isaiah is the prophet that gives us the most detail about these things. Now, maybe you've heard this before. If you haven't, let me just tell you that Isaiah is known as the prophet of the Messiah. And Isaiah, more than any other prophet, gives us details about the person of the Messiah, about the work of the Messiah, and about the kingdom of the Messiah. So as we're talking about the coming kingdom of Christ, I want to use Isaiah and his statements to show you what it is that we're talking about here. So when it comes to righteousness, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 3 through 5 say this, speaking of Christ, speaking of Jesus, when he returns, he will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. You see, the kingdom is going to be a righteous kingdom because it's going to be ruled by a righteous king. And there will not even be allowance for unrighteousness. It will not be tolerated for a moment in that kingdom. And because the Lord is the one who's going to be the ruler and he's going to dispense the justice and all that, it's going to be a perfectly righteous kingdom. That's what is coming in the future. That's what we are longing for, and that's what we are actually waiting for. So it's a kingdom of righteousness. Secondly, it's a kingdom of peace, where the increase of his government, it says in Isaiah chapter 9, the increase of his government, the Prince of Peace, the increase of his government will have no end. So it will just continue to expand with no end ever. And it is a reign of peace. I can't remember the exact statistics. Somebody calculated it at one point. The number of years, you know, calculating based on the history of man, the number of years that the world has known peace has been so small in comparison to the rest of history. So the vast majority, 95% of history has been marred by war. And maybe a mere 5% of history has had times of peace. And of course, it's relative. I mean, there might be peace in one area, but there's not peace in another area. And so that's been the mark of human history. But Jesus is going to establish a kingdom of peace. And once again, Isaiah tells us about that. In the second chapter of Isaiah, verses 2-4, it says this, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the kingdom of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And now listen, "He shall judge between many nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Wow. That's the future under the reign of Jesus. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All of the money that is spent to build up national defense, in some cases, and in other cases, national offense, all of the billions and even trillions of dollars that are spent on weapons of war, all of that is going to be diverted toward agriculture. Think about that. No need to continue to try to develop new and better weapons because there will be no war. He will put an end to war, and all of those resources will be put into agriculture and into the blessing of humanity. And so it is a kingdom of peace that Jesus is going to bring. And then it is a kingdom of joy, a kingdom of joy. And in this word joy, you have implied happiness, contentment, fulfillment. All of these things are wrapped up in this idea of joy. Now, if you were to go out and do a survey, and I don't care where you go, any place in the world, you just go out and ask the one simple question, you know, what do you want more in life than anything else? Most people are going to answer with this same answer. Most people are going to say, well, I'd like to be happy. Now, happiness and joy are a little bit different. Joy is better because joy includes happiness and fulfillment and contentment. Happy, the reality of happy is it's fleeting. It's based on circumstances, but joy goes beyond that. So joy is something greater. This is what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. But this is something that man, even though this is the great quest of all humanity for all time, we've never been able to attain it. We've never been able to find it. And of course, the biggest problem is because we try to find it apart from God who made us. And that's an impossibility. C.S. Lewis was absolutely right when he said this: human history is the long and terrible story of man trying to find something other than God that will make him happy. That's what history is. And it's a long and terrible story. Actually, think about this. Attempts at utopia during the 20th century, whether communist or fascist, all produce something more like hell on earth than heaven on earth. Now, the irony is that the claim was that they were going to bring heaven to earth without God being involved in it. Fascism, communism, it's all atheism. The only difference between the two is one is oppression by maybe a single individual. The other is oppression by a group of people, a party, the Communist Party.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen. I'd like to remind you that you can get today's message and any additional resource designed to encourage you in your walk with the Lord at our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at @BackTOBRadio or like us on our Facebook page. We enjoy hearing from you. We would also like to send you a gift for supporting Back to Basics. Our gift for this month for a donation of any size is A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God. This spiritual masterpiece exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Revelation. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.